gonna do without children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening, and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages, not just elementary kids, not just kids on drugs, not just kids that have mental health issues, not just kids that are in after-school and programs or in camps. It's all kids, all ages, all stages. It could be a young child, and it could be a married child. It could be someone that's single and in their 50s and 60s. If you have a child or a loved one that needs some assistance, feel free to call MASK, and we can help you find the right program, right therapist, right rehab for you, your loved one. So our number is 718-758-0400. Again, I'll repeat our number. Maybe it's for yourself, a child, a loved one, a spouse. Maybe it's for someone that sits next to you in shul. Our confidential number. You can call anonymously, describe a situation, and we will try and guide you to the right people, the right therapist. Our number again, maybe you want to write it down, 718-758-0400. Tonight we have with us someone that has been in the business for so many years, and we are so privileged to have with us Rachel Chernick from Partnership for Drug-Free Kids and Center on Addiction. She is the Director of Clinical Research. I want to welcome you. Hi, how are you, Rachel?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a real honor.
Thank you for making the time for being on. First, I'd like to just tell my listeners, let them know, what is Center on Addiction and Partnership for Drug-Free Kids? You've been around 30 years, and so much information available for my listeners. I'd love for you to share with us about both of the organizations, please.
Sure. So Center on Addiction is a nonprofit. We were founded almost 30 years ago, and the organization was really focused on addiction research, understanding, causes of addiction and patterns of addiction. The Partnership for Drug-Free Kids is also a very old organization. We have a long history of family services and advocacy, and the two organizations merged in January of this year. So we've now combined our commitment to helping families and all of our expertise in healthcare and in policy research, and we are now the Center on Addiction, and we are transforming how our nation addresses addiction.
Well, that is wonderful, because with the opioid crisis, the heroin is so available to our young kids, our young adults, that there are so many deaths, the increase is so great, that it is so important that there is awareness. And MASK tries to bring as much awareness to the community so that for prevention reasons. So thank you for being on tonight, and let's get right to the show. Tell me, Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, the words drugs are in there. Which drugs do you mean when you say drug-free kids in general?
So when we talk about drugs, we are really talking about any kind of psychoactive substance. And a psychoactive substance is really any kind of substance that acts on your brain and your central nervous system that changes your thinking or your mood. So when we use the word substance, we really prefer the word substance because it includes alcohol, it includes drugs, it includes things like caffeine and nicotine. Sometimes we don't think that those things are really substances, but they are. So we use the word substance and we talk about nicotine, caffeine, alcohol, marijuana, any kind of prescription opioid, cocaine, or other opioids like fentanyl or heroin.
You know, I feel there's a lot of confusion out there with the marijuana being legalized in many states, and kids hear about it, so they say there must not be anything wrong with it. What are your feelings about that from the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids? Like, how do we explain to the young adults today about that confusion?
Yes, so I agree. I think there is a lot of confusion about marijuana. Marijuana is now legal in some states for recreational use. It's legal in even more states for medical use, and we do hear a lot of parents asking us, you know, is marijuana a problem? Don't most kids smoke marijuana these days? Is it something that we even need to be concerned about? So society has become more accepting of marijuana, but that doesn't mean that it's safe for young people to use it. So we understand that adolescents and young adults' brains are still developing up until the age of 25. And that means that they are still vulnerable to any kind of substance, anything that we would call a psychoactive substance. We also know from scientific researchers that there's a chemical in marijuana, it's called THC, and that can really interfere with how information is processed in young people's brains. So if you do use marijuana as a young person, you can experience permanent changes to how your nervous system, to the pathways of your nervous system, and this influences learning, this influences attention and emotional responses, and also, you know, regular marijuana use can lead to long-term dependence. So we feel that that's an important thing for people to understand, is that young people are particularly susceptible to the effects of marijuana use. We also want people to understand that marijuana today is much stronger than marijuana of 20 or 30 years ago. On average, in the 1990s, the THC content, which is this chemical that is really responsible for mood and relaxation, this chemical used to be about 4%, consist of about 4% of marijuana, and now marijuana that's being sold in Colorado, for example, in a marijuana dispensary, is closer to 19 or 20%. So, you know, more than four times the strength. So we want people to know that marijuana is much stronger these days. And, frequent use of marijuana really can put young people at risk of substance use disorders, of other mental health issues, of poor school performance. We want people to really understand that, parents to understand that.
Absolutely. And I know there's a wonderful download available on Partnership for Drug-Free Kids about having a conversation with your child about marijuana and other topics, vaping, etc. So those that are interested can go to the website, which we'll talk about more. So, Rachel, can you maybe share some of the main concerns you see among the parents calling into your parents' helpline, please?
Parents have different concerns. Some parents are calling us when their children have just begun to use substances, or the parent isn't even sure if the child is using a substance. They might just suspect that the child is using a substance. They might observe some kind of behavior that seems unusual or not really like their child. Other parents call us because their child has been using for some amount of time and the use is really beginning to be very problematic, to cause disruptions in their school life or their relationship life or their mental health. And some parents who call us, their children are in recovery, have already been through some kind of substance use treatment, and the parents want to understand how to support a child who is in that kind of a situation. What can the parent do to support a child, in recovery and working towards health?
Right, that's what we do with you as well and several other organizations, and that is to offer support to the parents, to learn, to educate them, educate school staff, camp staff, which MASC does, and parenting on when you're faced with these issues and there are signs that you call early on. Don't wait until it becomes a full-blown issue and parents call the MASC helpline. There are many different organizations we could refer you to, including Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, for ideas both on prevention and intervention. So I'm just wondering, at MASC, our main focus is supporting the parents, the families, and getting the right help. Can you talk a little bit about Partnership for Drug-Free Kids and Center on Addiction? What is the what do you provide for the families, actually?
So we have a few different programs. We are really committed to supporting whole families, and really, as I just said, the whole family as they address every aspect of substance use, so all the way from prevention to recovery. Our helpline connects parents and caregivers directly to a helpline specialist who's a professional, expert in substance use issues and family work. These specialists listen and help families find answers in a non-judgmental and compassionate way. The support is available in both English and Spanish, and we are open from 9 in the morning to 12 in the evening, Eastern Standard Time, and on the weekends between 12 and 5. So we have a lot of opportunities for people to call in and ask for the support that they need. We also have a parent coaching program. So this program will actually match a parent who's calling in for help and will pair them with another parent volunteer who has had a similar situation with their own child, and their own child has struggled with substances. So it's up
right
here.
MASC does that as well, excuse me. So we do that as well with the mentoring, and it's great to have sometimes out of the community, like Partnership for Drug-Free Kids offers. I just wanted to make note, because sometimes people don't want to share their personal stories, family, issues with somebody they may know in their community. So there are benefits from getting a mentor through your organization. Just wanted to add that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think I can totally understand. This is a really heavily stigmatized issue, and for some people, talking to someone who's in their community is just too difficult and too shameful. Our parent coaches live all over the country, so it's very unlikely you would be matched up with someone who you know who lives in your community. And it's it's anonymous and confidential, so your information is, regardless of whether you're calling the helpline or matched with a parent coach, your information is always treated very carefully.
That's very important that parents understand the confidentiality is a priority in all the organizations, and we're basically, bound by HIPAA laws, and nobody has to worry about anybody breaking confidentiality. Rachel, I'm just wondering, parents, besides the stigma, besides being scared, frightened, non-educated on drugs, and then thrown into this suddenly, I always tell parents how important it is to gain support. Support in groups, support in mentor. And I just want you to, from your angle, if you can encourage the parents that are listening, let them know why this support is so helpful, why it's important not to go this journey alone and be embarrassed and not call for the help or reach out, the importance of getting that hope and support, please.
Yes, I think we send parents really the same messages that you do at MASC. We really know how hard it is for a parent to try to navigate this journey on their own. It can be very scary. It can be very confusing. It's hard to figure out what information is really valid and true. And when you reach out for support, you have access to information that is legitimate. You also can share your struggles with others, and that can be very, very comforting to know that you're not alone in this journey, that there are others who are going through what you're going through, who have been through what you are going through and have come out the other side. It's hard to ask for help, but it's even harder to try and deal with these issues on your own. And
absolutely.
We want parents to know that they should never, ever give up hope, no matter how hard things are, no matter how demoralized they feel. Many people with substances who have used substances have said that it was their parents not giving up on them that really helped them find their way out of their desperate situations. And so we want to make sure that parents always maintain hope, that they don't give up hope, that they remain hopeful.
Absolutely. I want to touch on misused prescription drugs. I know that 2/3 of teens who report abuse of prescription pain relievers are getting them from friends, family, and acquaintances. And that's hard for some parents to understand. There are kids that come to your house and may be visiting your child, and they'll go into somebody's medicine cabinets and take drugs that are, prescription pills for whatever reason you may have them. And friends are stealing those prescription drugs from medicine cabinets. I'd really like you to talk a little bit about the issue of prescription drugs that teens and adults are getting their hands on today.
Sure. So we want families to understand and parents to understand that opioids are really a large family of substances. And substances in the opioid family are pain relievers, like you mentioned, something like Vicodin or Percocet that you might be prescribed for some kind of an acute pain issue and you might have in your home. But an opioid is also something like heroin or fentanyl or opium, something that you would purchase illegally. And so the risk for people, you know, like you mentioned, people who have opioids in their home, is really to make sure that children or young people don't have access to those opioids. It's really important to monitor prescription medication that's in your home. So if you do have a prescription in your home, it's important to keep track of how many pills are in your prescription bottle. You keep track of refills. Any kind of controlled medication should be closely monitored. If your child has been prescribed a medication, you should be in charge of that medication. You should know how many pills are left. A child or a young person should not be in charge of their own medication and their own dosing. We want people to know that they should secure medications in their home. So a prescription should be treated the way any other valuable in your home is treated. So, you know, we want you to keep these in a safe place only you know about. It should be either in a locked cabinet is preferable, or somewhere where nobody can have access to it. And the other important thing to remember is when you have unused medication at the end of a prescription, if they're leftover medication, leftover pills, to make sure you dispose of those properly so you can find a drug take-back day or some kind of ongoing program in your community. And we have information about that on our website at drugfree.org. But we want to make sure people don't have unused prescriptions lying around in their home where young people can have access to them.
Absolutely. Very important. And I think it's really important that parents know there is naloxone available at MASC where we can train you and distribute free kits to reverse an overdose. And anyone interested in getting naloxone, please call the MASC helpline. We can even have someone come to your home and show you how to administer it in an emergency and give you a free kit. So please call the MASC helpline, and that is only for opioids, which include heroin, etc., like Rachel explained. But if anyone wants to get a free kit, please call 718-758-0400. So, what's the message you want to leave my listeners with, Rachel, this evening?
So the message for your listeners is really there is help out there. We do know a lot about addressing and treating substance use issues. There is a lot of help in our organization at MASC, in other organizations in the community. Please don't feel like you have to deal with this on your own. Please reach out for help. It's something that's just too difficult to try to handle on your own. And you know, we are here to help. MASC is here to help. Please ask for help in this situation.
Rachel, I want to just also talk about the importance of speaking to addiction professionals or mental health professionals when choosing a program. Because on our helpline, I'm doing this 22 years, we're doing this, over 50,000 families have reached out and attended our programs. And what we've had many a times is parents will call up and say, my child's in this rehab, or my kid came home from this rehab, or my spouse was in this rehab and it wasn't the right fit, and now we need to send them to a new rehab. How are we going to get them in? They don't want to go again. And what we always tell them is that we ask them first, who referred you to the rehab? And so many hundreds of times do they respond with, my next-door neighbor's kid went to a rehab and was successful. My relative went to this rehab or whatever. And that is really not the way to choose a rehab or a program, any mental health program, inpatient or outpatient, but because you know someone who did well there. I mean, it's so important that a proper intake is taken before by an addiction professional. Call MASC, call any of the other organizations, Partnership for Drug-Free Kids. But it's so important, and I'm wondering your feelings on that, please.
Yeah, I agree. I think getting a really good assessment from a addiction professional is a really important part of this journey for parents. I think often a mental health professional can offer insight, especially if the child is struggling with both a mental health issue and some kind of substance use issue. Often we see those two things happening together. So yes, I 100% agree that getting an addiction professional and or a mental health professional involved in this conversation and to help figure out what the right path is for your family is really crucial.
Well, it's wonderful having you on, and Rachel, and I hope that those that would like to look at your website, Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, and being they merge with Center on Addiction, both names will be on that website, and there's a lot of information there. You know, we can talk about so many different issues that are going on, but I really just quickly, in a minute or less, if you could talk about what do you say to somebody who says their child is saying, I'm just experimenting?
Well, we ask parents to really have very open and honest conversations with their kids. We always encourage a conversation about what does this use mean to you? What are the reasons that you think you are using? Is this about your friends using? Is this about an experience or a feeling that you're trying to have? I think the more that parents can understand where the substance use comes from and the context of the use, the more information they have about how to help their child deal with the use. So that's where I would encourage a parent to start with a conversation with a child about that particular issue.
Absolutely. Well, it's been wonderful having you on, Rachel. Thank you. Thank you to Partnership for Drug-Free Kids for always staying on top of the latest and research in these areas of conversations and offering hope to families. And if anyone wants to reach Rachel, feel free to call MASC at 718-758-0400. I hope to have you on again soon, Rachel.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much to MASC. You guys are doing such amazingly, amazingly important work, and very, very pleased to be here today talking to your audience.
Thank you, and I want to wish everybody a wonderful evening, a beautiful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.